interesting that the conflict on Labor Day in the Gospel is over rest from work. And I think it opens up for us something quite important. And of course, that marvelous passage in which Paul describes the vocation of every apostle. It is now my joy to suffer for you. The heart of the apostolic life. But we'll start with this first one. We live in a society, in a culture, which has long ago decided that everything that happens in this world is explicable in terms of the power, resources, and energies of this world. There is no God. And this has been the prevailing view of the West, at least since Hobbes, 17th century, when it really became a dogma in the 18th century. And we have gone on listening to people talk and thinking they were talking about God, but they're not. Now, when you're in that world, all you have is this world. And therefore, you must work. You must get everybody else to work. We are going to improve our lot on this world for the sake of man. In doing so, we reduce a human being to nothing but production. Now, this was done in the practical order, even with the Christians around, but not very vocal and not very perceptive. See, at the Industrial Revolution, the primary thing that happened was the average person lost control of the means of production. They belong to somebody else. And he sells himself and his energies to this other person. And Marx saw that quite clearly, and he was right. This divorce between the worker and what he does. He's working to build a better world by selling himself. Not only factory workers, lawyers, doctors, office workers, they all sell themselves for money. And therefore, live a totally, what Marx would call, alienated life. I'm alienated from the very thing that I do all day and that gains me my dignity, my life, my material goods. That's the power to do that is owned by somebody else, and I sell myself to that. Well, human nature being what it is, I sell myself to somebody who's going to pay me as absolutely little as possible. So when this whole huge shift began, there were children 8 years old working all day in factories, women. Working all day, not taking care of their families, you see. And somebody began to organize. And it took force to stop this. It didn't take nobility. It took force. Those were the famous, and are the famous unions. They themselves now have become another form of alienation, but if you join a union, you're still alienated, even from those who are supposed to be representing you and helping you. In other words, there's something wrong. You may have noticed this. I mean, there's something wrong. And the wrong goes back to the notion that this world, you see, the universe, all of creation, is a totally closed system. There's nothing outside of it. Now, this is a beautiful pagan notion. For the Stoics, it was the Logos, some mysterious entity, reality, force, that held the whole universe together. But he was part of the universe, or it was part of the universe. There's nothing outside this universe. The physicist, always the Brief History of Time fellow, forgot his name right now, very famous and brilliant man. But ask him about creation. He says, that's a non-question. This is reality. Questions about God are outside that. It's a non-question. Well, how come everybody keeps asking it? You know, even people who, well, we're culturally conditioned. You Christians keep pushing this idea, so go someplace where there isn't any. And you'll see people still asking this question. You see, it was because of this, finally, that Leo XIII wrote the first encyclical on labor, Rerum Novarum. And it's been filled, and then 40 years later, Pius XII, Quadragesimo Anno, on the 40th year, he wrote one. John Paul II wrote two. You see, to try to give and instituted this feast of Joseph the Worker. Now, where do we come in on this? Of course, justice. People should be remunerated in keeping with their work. And they should be protected in this complex world. We need insurance. And they should be provided. There should be a dignity for these people. But it never happens. In communist Russia, all the leaders own 5 or 6 multi-million dollar villas. So much for power to the people, so long as you're one of those people. In other words, it's endemic in humankind to get as much power as you can, no matter what kind of slogans you use. Well, what's the solution? Jesus Christ. That's the solution. Because then the whole essence of what I do when I work is enhancing my dignity. I am a human being. And when I work, I enhance my dignity because I am the representative in this material universe of the transcendent. I think, I love, I believe. Like Paul, I can sacrifice myself for the good of others. In this whole universe, material universe, and the angels are another question for right now, I'm the only representative of the transcendent. I'm also the only one who thinks. Because I have the image of God in me. John tells us, you see, in him was the light of men, the life, and the light was the life of men, the other way around. He came unto this world, you see, and he tells us, John teaches us, you see, that the Word of God, the real Logos, eternal Son of God, is the one who enlightens every man coming into this world. That means, as all the great fathers of the church and the doctors of the church have taught us, that means that all our thinking and loving is a share in the reality of the infinite Word of God. See, in Him was the light of men, huh? And it shines. St. Thomas has a beautiful phrase about every time we think, we are sharing in the infinite beauty and light of the Word of God Himself. I'm bigger than this universe. And that's why the only way out of the mess we're in, and you may have noticed we're in a mess, and have been for several centuries, is to believe, accept, be in union with, and obey the Word of God incarnate. It's the only way out, because that breaks the whole system. Not only do I discover my dignity, there is no system, but somebody has come into this world who is God and given every one of us a dignity that we can never be oppressed or cheated. No one. And when I work, yes, to contribute to this effort of the world, and I do it out of respect. Somebody organizes the whole system. I play my part. But I play my part because it is the way to enhance my own dignity. Not because, you know, I got to sell myself to get some money to bring home to my family. Now, this is a voice crying in the wilderness, right? Every dream of a utopia begins with a closed system. I have to fix this thing because I'm all there is. And I happen to be a chosen, whatever, who, I don't know who chose me, there's nobody, but you see? And for those who stand in the way, they should be eliminated. We're on our way to this wonderful whatever. And so, in the name of utopia, in China, there were 70 million people killed. In Russia, there were 20 million people killed. In Germany, there were 10 million people. That's 100 million people in order to realize my utopia. Now you see, the church sounds so abstract when it comes in and says, stop all this. Recognize the dignity of a human being. What are they made for? They're made for truth and love, not production. They're made to know and be known, to love and be loved. Some are rich, some are poor. That's always going to be. But the dignity of every human being is that they are the image of God, and they think, they share in the very light of the Word of God. That's their dignity. And what they do in order to provide the material things for themselves and others has to be in keeping with that dignity. And it sounds so abstract. Because what we want is right here and now. If I get a 40% raise, forget about social justice, I got enough. You see? And so there is no way that the great world government is going to do anything but oppress. Because you see, the heart of it is understanding what a human being is. And that's why the church insistently, oh, even our present Pope, they all, stop, folks, and realize who you are as a human being. Realize your true dilemma. You are beset with darkness and sin, even though you're called to an eternal life. Understand the solution that God has provided for us, a Savior, who has embraced us all, even by taking on our humanity, who died for us all, broke the bonds of this bondage to set us free. Now let's sit down to work. Now let's go to work. The antithesis of this is the Tower of Babel, an organized attempt to do without God. I'm not going to start on that one now because even though it's Labor Day, you shouldn't have to labor too much. I'm trying to encapsulate, though. See, the Christian vision, embodied and preached and talked about and thought about mostly in the Catholic Church. And it's a bulwark, it's a protection. If you don't have that, even though you call yourself a Christian, you sing along with Mitch. And you don't think. And so when this very angry and very smart Jewish man looked and said, the problem is alienation. And the answer is, workers of the world revolt. Because he too, though he was Jewish, bought into this whole closed system. We have got to fix this closed system. And we're going to do it by forcing all the recalcitrant to heal to do what we know is best. And this is recurrent. The chasing of a utopia. But it's a man-made utopia built on anger and fear. I am angry at this situation. Even if I'm a multi-billionaire, I am angry that the world isn't in better shape. And I'm going to fix it, even if I have to kill 70 million people to get them out of the way for my utopia. And the church stands there and says, you have no idea of your dignity and everybody else's dignity. And until you see that, you can do nothing. I remember once reading an article about all the famous communists who died. They were frightened to death. Frightened. All of a sudden, this illusion, this is all there is, and I'm just going to be absorbed back. My body will decompose into this soil, and that's it. And I've worked my whole life for this. Do you see? Well, we have to tell them. Yes, we have to tell them. We have to prove it by having lives that are beautiful and meaningful and going somewhere and where our work is building our dignity, not just selling ourselves. Well, that's a bit of a pie-in-the-sky ideal. It's not in the sky, it's right here. And if we don't have an ideal worth dying for, we don't have anything worth living for. And so, I just, this civic feast is an occasion to stop and think, what does the church teach about labor, about work, about the role of work performed by the image of God in a world so organized, like one huge anthill. But you can break through that anthill, not with concentration camps, but with prayer and love and sacrifice.